Fresh Perspective features young professionals in the scrap and recycling industry, offering insights from the next generation of industry leaders. Guests share their stories of what led them to the scrap industry and new ideas on industry trends. Tune in to hear stories from scrap processors, traders, operators, and others who are starting to lead in this space. Fresh Perspective is beginning an ongoing dialogue with the future executives of the industry.
Hello and welcome to Fresh Perspective. My name is Tess Kasdan with the Recycling Today Media Group, and joining me on the podcast, we have Alex Grover of I2M. Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Hi, Tess. I'm great. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, totally. So first, I wanted to start off by asking you about your journey into the recycling industry. What did that look like? What were you doing before you joined the I2M team?
Sure. It's funny, when I think about the recycling industry, it's still hard for me to think about I2M necessarily being a recycler. But at the end of the day, that's a big part of what we do today. I began my career in a completely different sector. I worked for a Fortune 100 consumer packaged good company prior to joining I2M. And so my interest and subsequent journey into recycling really happened organically as I worked through a variety of different roles, which helped me gain insight into how do we transform our operations? How do we transform our products to meet a lot of these environmental needs? So it wasn't necessarily this like single decision, but more so a gradual realization that sustainability has to be at the core of what we do. And that's where my passion for recycling really took off. I call our philosophy around recycling, you make it, you take it. At our core, we're a manufacturer, and that's really what we're quite good at. But it's also apparent that as a manufacturer, we also have to become much more involved in the end-of-life process and what's going to happen to that product in the years after we make it. So that's really where my passion, enthusiasm, and entry into recycling began.
Got it. Awesome. And then can you give me a summary of what I2M does?
Sure. So I2M is a manufacturer and gravure printer of flexible polymer films. So we're based out of the United States, and our products fall largely into three categories. We have our decorative products, which are typically used in architectural applications like luxury vinyl tile flooring, vinyl pool liner material, wallboard, wall covering, and other items of that nature. We have our precision films, which are used in everything from vinyl decal to vinyl laminates. So think like bus wraps or tent material. And then lastly, we have our heavy duty films, and those are used in waterproofing applications such as commercial roofing, shower pan liner, tunnel liners, and things of that nature. Overall, I2M is focused in three specific areas, and it all comes down to purposeful polymers. We differentiate ourselves by being a United States-based manufacturer with a focus on sourcing raw materials domestically. We differentiate ourselves on sustainability, so we drive that into everything that we do, and we deliver exceptional results for our customers. That's really what I2M is all about.
So now, would you be able to tell me a little bit about what you do at I2M and kind of how you got there?
Sure. Yeah. So I started in a customer service sales role at I2M and rotated through several positions on the operations side and on the product development side. So as CEO today, which is the role I currently hold, I oversee overall strategy, operations, and most importantly, the culture at I2M. My responsibilities typically include making key business decisions, driving product innovation, and ensuring that we stay far ahead in market trends, but especially those in sustainable manufacturing. Importantly, I also work really closely with our customers to understand their needs and how we can address them with environmentally responsible products.
So going from, how long have you been with I2M now then?
I've been with I2M for 6 years.
6 years. So then going from customer service kind of at the start, rotating through all these positions, now to being CEO, how would you say that the previous roles you served with the company impact the way that you work today and how you kind of approach being CEO?
I think they drove home the importance for me of the value of our team and the importance of our values. So in general, being able to have a variety of different experiences within the business helped me see what's going to be most important for us currently and what's going to help drive us into the future, whether it be processes or whether it be team members, and what are some of those critical functions?
If you had to go through a day in your life as CEO, what does it typically look like?
So let's see, a typical day may involve a mixture of different things. I think one of the things I love about manufacturing in general is it's always different. Every day there's going to be some level of variety, but I tend to find it's a mixture of strategic planning, reviewing operational performance, working with the leadership team that I'm fortunate to be a part of on different initiatives, whether they be related to sustainability, growth, and innovation. Of course, some of the most important decisions I make will involve things like resource allocation, specifically investments in new technologies, prioritizing product development, and figuring out how we continue to stay aligned with our mission of reducing carbon emissions. I also love to spend as much of my time as possible with our customer partners. They're where we're seeking inspiration, we're seeking ideas, and really they're a critical part of how we're able to drive some of these sustainability initiatives and recycling work forward.
So switching gears just a little bit, going back to your career history, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced so far in your career, and what have you learned from those challenges?
I think one of the bigger challenges I faced was as we shifted our business model to really focus more heavily on sustainability. This required a significant investment on how we develop those processes. And frankly, it continues on today. So there were a lot of lessons and learnings that I had in how do we shift culture, how do we communicate sustainability, and how do we make sure that it's financially feasible for both I2M and for our customers. I'm a big believer in, you know, there's this concept of what using recycled content looks like. And when I was growing up, I would have these notebooks made with recycled content, and they were brown and you could hardly write on them because it had, you know, the paper had all of these little speckles in it. In my mind, we have to change the narrative around what that really looks like now. Instead, it needs to be a clean white sheet of paper, and it needs to not be a substantial price premium. And so overcoming that and really figuring out how do we take recycled content from the mentality and perception that it has today, and instead move it to this is a high performance, really technically specified product that also happens to have a lot of sustainable benefits and be better for the environment. That to me has been one of the biggest challenge and lessons that I've engaged with.
Absolutely. I have two questions off of that. So, sure. Can you give me like a little bit of maybe a timeline of when the shift towards sustainability was originally initiated and, you know, kind of like where you guys are at now with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So sustainability has been an enormous part of my journey here at I2M, and I think the I2M story in general. So it all really started with honing our process and capabilities. That was the most important part. Before we could go to market, we had to make sure that we were able to develop the infrastructure in order to create these types of products. And that comes down to both, it's a cross-functional exercise. It is educating customer care and sales around the benefits. It is ensuring the lab is prepared to formulate the correct and appropriate products, and operations is ready, and scheduling. I mean, it's all of these different functions that go into it. And so really we started there. What's our internal process and how do we get that ready? Because I believed in it, the team believed in it, we knew this was the right direction, but we had to create an underlying foundation that was going to allow us to drive volume and drive this message to our customers. So that was step one. And that really occurred more or less in 2020 or so. Over the course of the next couple of years, we gradually increased our sustainability footprint. So as a next step, we launched our Renew brand. So this is the first and only high-performance sustainable vinyl product that's made with recycled content. We now have several products that sit under that Renew brand, and they continue to be the only ones out there that deliver the performance expectations that our customers have, and also are objectively better for the environment and more sustainable alternatives. So launching that Renew brand is something that was a huge milestone because it was the culmination of an enormous amount of work on the process side that had happened years earlier. following the launch of our Renew brand, we decided to push the limit even further and identify how do we start to really take back more post-consumer recycled content. And so that next phase was developing those pipelines. And that was where we launched our Renew Champions program. Renew Champions is a program that we've developed to return used pool liner material and incorporate it back into our products. In order to really legitimatize the processes and products that we had then invested in, so now we're, I don't know, around 2022, we went out and determined that it was important for us to get some third-party certifications specifically around those Renew products. And so we were able to achieve those third-party certifications and launch those pretty quickly because we had, you know, by that point, a couple of years of data and demonstrable progress and process around sustainability and our commitment. As a next step or sort of future, well, current into future looking, we're very focused on, okay, now that we know that we're actively removing plastic from the waste stream, we're putting it into these products, how are we doing on the carbon emissions front? And in my mind, that's a really important part of the overall story. And so we're in the process now of measuring our carbon emissions, understanding what our current footprint looks like, and working our way to reduce that footprint by using the products, the recycled content products, as well as a variety of other investments to get there. So that's really forward looking where we're heading as well.
Got it. And so then my next question has to do with, you mentioned something about shifting the narrative around the quality of recycled content products. How have you guys kind of taken that on? It is, I've heard that a lot in my conversations, and it's a daunting task to try to do, especially to shift public perception. So what have been the strategies there?
Yeah, it's such a good question because it's so true. Like it feels to me oftentimes people feel as though they have to sacrifice either quality or price for sustainability. And that comes time and time again. And at the end of the day, we very quickly learned that our customers were not going to sacrifice quality and they weren't going to sacrifice price in order to create a more sustainable alternative. But at the same time, we were undeterred in thinking, okay, sustainability is still incredibly important. And instead of just, you know, being frustrated about it and kind of giving up, we need to figure out how to get there. And so that's really where a lot of the investment in R&D came in. And it was testing formulas. It was honing our process, inbound recycled content measurement, outbound, what was our quality process look? And how did we really make sure that we were developing a product that we could firmly stand behind? It also was how we talk about it. So we don't lead with recycled content. We lead with, this is a high performance product with the quality, the delivery, the customer service made in the USA that you can expect from I2M and all of the benefits that come along with that. And by the way, it has this added benefit of being better for the environment. And so when we talk about it in that way, I really found that our customers were much more receptive to it and much more interested in, you know, maybe taking that risk with us because they understood that this was going to perform in the way that they wanted to. I think it's an especial challenge for us because the products that we make are products that are designed to last for years and years. We're not a single use plastics manufacturer. It's material that may be out in the industry and out and it may be even outdoors for 20 years. And so really being able to convey that level of quality, delivery, and performance was key to the success of being able to also get some of these sustainable alternatives out into the marketplace.
I think that's really interesting because I find that a lot of companies producing, you know, recycled content products or products that contain recycled content lead with that. Like that is one of the marketing strategies that they use to promote the product because, you know, trying to appeal to people who do care about it being, you know, having recycled content. But I think you brought up a really interesting, there's an interesting duality about that because of the narrative of recycled content, maybe people thinking that you have to sacrifice quality in order to utilize a recycled content product. So shifting the way that you present the information, I think is a really interesting strategy.
Yeah. And I think that's the sacrifice is the key word. Like, and we use that time and time again. Like I refuse to let our customers sacrifice anything. And we want to be the ones who can deliver for them, who can deliver that value and also we think it's the right thing to do. And if we make it the easiest choice for our customers, if we make the sustainable choice the simplest and easiest one, then that's a win for our planet. It's a win for our team. And we think ultimately it's something that'll continue to help us help contribute to our growth. The other really important point in my mind in terms of the message is the underlying facts. I mean, I see time and time again where we have others in the industry who talk about sustainability, but the way that they're doing it or the process really isn't there. And so that's why I also really talk about the process that we put into place and frankly, the years of investment to get us there. I think it's critical for anyone in the plastics industry to make sure that when we're talking about sustainability, when we're developing and launching these products, it is legitimate. And we are actively finding ways to take care of end of life, take care of recycled content, identify how do we create a more sustainable product in general, and really make that legitimate. Because I think, you know, customers are very intelligent. They understand what's real and what's not. And we have to make sure that we are truly and objectively delivering a not just quality product, but a product that if we're saying is sustainable and better for the environment, it genuinely is.
Absolutely. And I'm sure we'll touch on a couple more of those topics a little later, but I want to shift gears just a little bit and ask you now, we've talked about some challenges that you faced since, you know, taking on the roles that you've had at I2M, but what would you say are some of the things that you're most proud of? You have mentioned a couple things already, but what would you kind of mark as your biggest successes in your career?
I think I'm most proud of the culture that we've built at I2M. It is a culture of innovation. It's a culture of customer focus, and it's a culture of environmental responsibility. And so for me, it is incredibly rewarding to see my team energized by the impact that we're making for both our customers and for the planet. I'm also really proud of, you know, our purposeful polymers mentality. And that goes back to the three Ps. It's people, product, planet. I'm proud of the programs that we have in place for our team that help them create long-term successful careers in United States manufacturing. I'm proud of the products that we create and the way we're able to deliver those and deliver value for our customers with sustainable alternatives. And I'm really proud of the work that we continue to do to reduce our carbon footprint and do what's right for the planet. And so I guess in whole, it's our culture and it's our culture of purposeful polymers that really excites me and I'm most proud of as I look back in the past couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then looking to the future, are there any upcoming projects or announcements that you can share with me today that you're excited about?
There is, so with a culture of innovation, we always have something that we're working on. And so there are a number of different things that I'm incredibly excited about. One of the biggest items is, of course, our launch of VariPrint Plus, which is a new printing technology that we've developed that is incredibly high definition, high resolution printing using AI-assisted registration and color matching, really a game changer for the United States rotogravure domestic market. So I am incredibly excited about that and where that will take us from a technological standpoint. I'm excited about our continued work on sustainability and some of the upcoming certifications that we'll be revealing as it relates specifically to our overarching footprint and how we are and operate as citizens in the sustainable area. And so those are some of the areas that I'm most excited about. And lastly, I'm just most excited about continuing to communicate with our customers and identify how do we really promote this message of sustainability, continue to grow our post-consumer recycled content pickups and product lines, and really continue to make that something that's an important part of the overall I2M infrastructure.
My next question, we have already kind of touched on a couple things, I think, but what do you see as some of the biggest issues impacting the plastics industry, the plastics recycling industry, or the recycling industry as a whole, but what issues have you identified in your work that you see impacting the industry today?
I think there are a couple of challenges. So I think the first is just overall infrastructure for recycling, especially for complex materials like flexible PVC. So what's amazing to me about vinyl and the products that we make are they can be recycled again and again without losing physical properties. There are very few products of any sort that can that have that capability. I mean, if you think about concrete, right? You cannot recycle concrete and have it in a building and turn it into another building. It has no structural stability. Vinyl isn't like that. We're able to recycle it again and again. We're able to turn it into some of these unique high-performance products, even if it's been used before, even if it's already been processed. And I think being able to convey that to people and understanding that there's a big difference in terms of the type of plastic and the polymer makeup, that's a huge hurdle. I think by eliminating plastics and by avoiding them, which oftentimes feels like some of the messaging or rhetoric that's out there, is an enormous mistake. And the data shows that. But figuring out how we, as those within the plastics industry, convey that clearly, articulately, and transparently, that to me is one of the biggest challenges that we have in front of us. I also think that as I look at the pipelines for recycling, identifying how we continue to create these streams that allow us to take back increasing amounts of post-consumer recycled content and do that in an economically viable manner, that's another challenge. So the only way for us to do that is for a variety of parties to get involved and everyone to really work together. And if we do that, it's going to work. And if we don't, it's not. And so I would say that's the second biggest challenge. It's making sure that the parties within the industry all work together and collaborate in order to drive some of these great results.
For sure. So of the, you know, the variety of parties that you mentioned that would need to kind of get involved to collaborate on building up that infrastructure for recycling, who do you identify as being necessary or critical to this shift?
It is everyone in the supply chain, and that's what makes it hard. So it is the consumer who is purchasing the product. It's the person or distributor who may have sold it to them, and it's the manufacturer who may have sold to the distributor, and it may be the manufacturer who sold it to the manufacturer who sold to the distributor. So for a lot of the products that we make, it's an incredibly long supply chain, and engaging each of those parties to do their part, it is not only doable, it's financially feasible. And I think people can get really excited about it. We've seen that with Renew Champions in particular. So that's a program where I just got some of the preliminary numbers. We've recycled almost 120,000 pounds of post-consumer recycled content in the past 8 months. And collecting that has been a collaboration of every single partner within that supply chain. We've been able to do it efficiently by leveraging existing logistics pipelines. So we're not creating additional emissions in terms of returning this or incurring additional cost. But we've only been able to do that because we have a variety of partners who are engaged, who are excited, and who understand the importance of it. That's really the only way that we can be successful with developing out some of those post-consumer recycling pipelines.
To pinpoint more specifically, talking about like the take back program as a whole, can you kind of flesh that out for me and sort of tell me about that a little bit more?
Yes, absolutely. So Renew Champions Industry is our program, which allows us to take back post-consumer vinyl material from a variety of different industries, all that's been used in some application. So otherwise it's headed to the waste stream. We have a number of different channels associated with it, some more developed than others, but I think our most successful one thus far has been the one within the pool liner industry. So the way that works is we have a distributor partner that we work with. They're the largest distributor of pool products in North America. And we send them recycling bins that are designed to be stored outdoors. Their customers or their customers' customers may take some of those bins. And then when a pool liner is pulled out of a pool by an installer, they will then go ahead and bring it, put it in one of those bins. Once the bin is full, they contact us and we're able to take it back to our facility. We also drop off an additional 10 bins with them so that they're able to continue with their recycling exercises. So in a lot of ways, it works great. It works great for the installers because oftentimes they're paying $20, $30 to dispose of that material at the dump. So there's a financial incentive for them instead to bring it to one of our bins and deposit it there. There's an incentive for the distributor to work with them because that dealer or installer is typically picking up a new pool liner at their shop. So they're selling that new pool liner when they're dropping off the old one. So it creates a great working partnership between those parties. And then it works really well for us because we're able to make this kind of circular trip where we're dropping off the empties and picking up the fulls. So that's really how Renewed Champions works. And again, we've developed this out now in a couple of different avenues with other industries, most of which are still in their infancy stages as we develop how we maximize those pickup and logistics pipelines. The trucking is always the biggest challenge, and figuring out the freight certainly creates some constraints. But ultimately, that's how that process has worked.
Got it. Awesome. And so then now I want to shift a little bit over to equipment and technology. So maybe specifically in plastics, in the plastics industry or within plastics recycling, are there any new technologies on the horizon or new technologies that have kind of been adopted by early adopters that you see as being potentially influential in the industry in the future?
Yeah, there's some really amazing technology in recycling that's going on. I think ultimately, when I look at the most successful recycling facilities, it's ones that can do two things. A, you know, in engaging and investing in automation, that's a really big and important part of overall recycling and how we continue to maximize throughput of the recycled content, make it efficient, make it financially sound. The second area is ensuring that you can handle or are prepared to handle contamination. I think that's just kind of the nature of the beast when it comes to recycled content. You have to be prepared for that. If you're prepared for that and you have a good path forward and you understand that it's going to be part of the overall process, I think from a technology standpoint and from a being able to get as much recycled content through your system as possible and be as efficient as you can, that's really the way to do it. So automation, AI sorting systems, it's incredible how quickly that technology has come about. And being able to leverage that sort of thing to separate different types of plastics, that's what's going to make recycling more efficient and scalable. So I'm incredibly excited about some of the potential that I've seen on the AI side as it relates to helping with that story, helping ensure that manufacturers and recyclers can maximize their efficiency in particular.
Got it. So then given, you know, some of the challenges that you've identified, as well as the new technology or the newer technology on the horizon for the plastics recycling industry, where do you see plastics recycling going in the next 5 years? Where do you see the industry headed?
I see the industry evolving towards a more circular economy. And I think that's where products are going to be designed with their end in life in mind. So we, from a product development standpoint, are very focused on that because ultimately that's going to help us recycle more. And that's really where that collaboration between between us being the manufacturer and also being the recycler and working with our partners to develop those types of products, that's really where I see kind of the magic happen, if you will. Being able to understand not just what it takes to make the product, but what it takes to recycle it. It's a huge advantage because it then helps us work with our customers to develop out those products in a way that's going to make them ultimately easier to recycle at the end of their life. So I think that increased collaboration with customers and between the manufacturers is really going to help us get there. And that's where I see the industry moving towards. I also see the industry really moving towards this, okay, how do we all work together to take back some of this material in a way that logistically makes sense? And so I'm continuously seeing an increased amount of interest in those partnerships and an increased amount of focus on them as well. And so I'm expecting to see more and more of that, parties working together who previously may not have collaborated as closely and being able to tell that recycling story and develop a really good process.
The theme I heard in kind of both the tiers of your answer was collaboration, working together, bringing together multiple parties across the supply chain, the plastics value chain. So then on a personal professional level, what are your goals for the next 5 years?
my goals and ambitions for i2m over the next 5 years is for i2m to become the leading calendaring plastics manufacturer and rotogravure printer in North America. And we're also pushing to be recognized for our leadership in sustainability, making sure that the products that we develop and bring to the market set the standard and lead for low carbon emissions and high recycled content. That's what we want to be known for. And that's really the overarching goal for i2m over the next 5 years.
Awesome. Okay, and so then my last question, because this is Fresh Perspective and we're talking to young professionals in the recycling industry, I always like to ask, what are ways that you think the recycling industry or the plastics recycling industry can recruit young professionals into the space?
So that is something we are actively doing. And so the key for me is working to show that the recycling sector is not only impactful, but also a space for innovation and growth. So over the course of the past 2 years, my team has developed a program called Crestwood Creators, and it is an apprenticeship program where we aim to introduce high school students to manufacturing and recycling and show them the long-term career potential in this field. They apply, they go through classes with a curriculum that we've helped design through their junior and senior year, and then they graduate with a degree or a certificate as advanced manufacturing technician. So immediately they can enter into the manufacturing industry and hopefully come to work for i2m, which we've seen has happened thus far. In addition to that, we've created a pipeline for the Crestwood Creators by creating a STEM library for the elementary schools in our area. So there's actually a Crestwood Creators class now, and a huge focus of theirs is incorporating recycled content into the different products and experimentation that they do. We come and speak to them, we show them the recycled content, we give them a sense of what it is that the products close to their home are being made for, and how you can incorporate sustainability into that every single day. So in my mind, those are the types of strategies that are really important for getting young professionals and people who might be interested in this space into sustainability. We start them early. We let them know that manufacturers care about this too, and also open them up to the diverse and incredible array of career paths that you can have when you're part of either the manufacturing or recycling sector or both.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think giving, you know, students of all ages a age-appropriate kind of detailed look into what the manufacturing or recycling industries look like and what that kind of entails is so important, because I know, at least speaking for myself, when I was in school, I don't think I had much knowledge of the recycling industry. I didn't have a comprehensive kind of education or opportunity to be educated in recycling or manufacturing. And so I think it's a lack of understanding or just a lack of knowledge of what's out there for a lot of young people. And so creating these initiatives and classes to not only make students and young people aware of what you're doing and what is out there, but also giving them tools to then move into the industry if they so choose, I think that's a really, really great initiative.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super passionate about it. And I've been amazed with the response too. And I think that's the key. It's, you know, this is not the industry that existed, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Recycling is new. We're using interesting and engaging technology, and there's just so much potential for growth and for investment. But in order for us to continue to be successful, we need new, innovative ideas and fresh perspectives. And so getting that engagement from young professionals is really critical, I think, to investing in the long-term success of sustainability, of recycling, and of manufacturing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, those were all of my questions. Do you have anything that you want to add or anything you want to talk about before we close?
No, I just want to thank you for an engaging and wonderful conversation, Tess. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you for letting me share a little bit about the story of sustainability and our journey thus far with i2m. We're really proud of the work that we've done. We've got a lot of work to continue to do, but it's wonderful to be able to engage on this sort of topic and talk a lot about the progress that we've made. So thank you again for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. It was great talking to you and learning from you today. So thank you for being here.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks again.